Brief. Former President Trump will be arriving for day two of his criminal hush money trial in New York soon. CBS's Robert Costa.
On day one of his historic criminal trial, former President Trump lashed out at the New York judge who is requiring him to be there every day court is in session, potentially for 8 weeks. And so far, not one juror has been chosen.
Israel's war cabinet meets today to discuss next steps after Iran's weekend airstrikes. But retired two-star Israeli general Nimrod Sheffer warns,
if you're retaliating just to show that you're strong enough, it's a wrong strategy.
American Airlines Pilots Union is reporting a spike in safety and maintenance-related problems. Spokesman Dennis Tazier.
We're telling our pilots, slow down, take your time, and watch for these potential errors because they're starting to increase across the system.
So far, no comment from the FAA. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's leading business group is asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to overturn Governor Evers' line item veto last summer to let school districts increase spending for each of the next 400 years. Lawyers for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce argue Evers' maneuver forces local property taxpayers to pay more for schools without having any say. PFAS pollution could be an issue in this year's elections. Marquette University political scientist Amber Wachowski tells Wisconsin Eye that people who read more news are likely to be the most concerned.
One of the predictors of your concern over PFAS is, are you paying attention to current affairs and political issues?
Republican lawmakers and Governor Evers can't agree if the Department of Natural Resources or local communities should administer PFAS cleanup. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is reminding residents that it's National Work Zone Awareness Week. According to the DOT, there were over 2,000 crashes in Wisconsin work zones last year. As the weather begins to warm up enough for road construction projects to resume, state officials are reminding drivers to use extra caution when driving through a work zone and follow all applicable laws, namely changes in the speed limit. Drivers should be extra focused when driving through a construction zone. Eau Claire County District Attorney Peter Rindle has announced his campaign to remain in the position. Rindle was appointed to the district attorney job by Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers after accusations of sexual harassment and drinking on the job against his predecessor, Gary King. In his announcement, Rindle said, quote, "It matters to me that the people of Eau Claire County are represented fairly and justly, and that is why I'm running for district attorney." At this point, Rindle is the only candidate in the race. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Bucks prepare for the playoffs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks holding practice sessions, getting ready for game one of their best of seven playoff series against the Indiana Pacers. Did the Bucks take their foot off the gas in their loss to Orlando, knowing they would host game one in Milwaukee? Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
Somewhat, but a little different. You know, listen, we didn't play well down the stretch. Had a lot of stuff going on. And then mentally, I just think, you know, when you know you're in, you know you got home court. I don't think that we handled that very well. And we just got to keep playing until we get to the fourth round.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Padres 7-3. It's the first time this season Milwaukee's lost two games in a row. Starting pitcher Joe Ross held San Diego to just one run until things fell apart in the fifth.
I was sick the way that happened just because Ross is throwing the ball so well. You know, broken bat hit, bloop hit, infield hit.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thunderstorms with heavy rain likely this afternoon, tonight into tomorrow. We could get an inch to an inch and a half or more of rain by the time everything winds down on Wednesday. It's also going to be colder and very windy today. Our high 56, wind out of the east, gusting to between 40 and 50 here through today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Matt and Air on Air.
Welcoming Arizona to the 1860s. Arizona's highest court upheld an 1864 law. Physicians are now on notice that all abortions except those necessary to save a woman's life are illegal. When do we decide she is sick enough or close enough to death that I need to do this procedure to save her life? None of that is codified.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up? This
is a big party, man.
All right, good morning and welcome once again to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Hey, good morning, Chief Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. It was a beautiful day yesterday. We're going to get some thunderstorms today.
Hey, man, 73, 74 degrees.
You know, people don't need to look at their phone for the weather. They can just tune into this show.
And so by now you know who that is.
We give them a postcast and a forecast.
None other than Sandy Williams, my co-host. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Weather was unbelievable Sunday. Yeah. Sunday,
Monday. The weather was better than the Bucks were.
Oh, man. We'll get into the Buck thing, but Sandy, this 70 degrees in April, 74, 70, that's May, late May, early June weather.
Yeah, I looked at a photo of April 14th from a year or two ago, and the photo was of snow.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
It snowed on April 14th. I don't know when it was, a year or two ago. One of those things where Apple sends you a reminder on this day, and then you see a photo you took at this day. Yeah, snow.
And you look at the vegetation that's up, you know, and everything is a hit. That's a great harbinger, man, a good sign. Long summer.
Well, it's a good harbinger of something. It might be forewarning us of something else. Huh?
Speaking of forewarning, the Milwaukee Bucks. Our beloved Milwaukee Bucks, Sandy.
Yeah, we need to
postmortem.
Now we need to adjust our expectations for this upcoming playoff time, because it's Indianapolis is going to be very hard for us, Indiana. And I think the Bucks, you know, we thought we were creating a team made for the playoffs, and I'm afraid that's not the outcome.
You remember early on, Sandy, you and I, when we've gone to a few Buck games together, and I thank you for that. We were talking about how the possibilities of the Bucks, they were built for the championship run, right? They spent $50 million for one guy, and they pay him $50 million a year. They pay Giannis $50 million a year.
Yeah, I think they paid Holiday about $30 million, so they kicked it up about $20 million for that slot.
And it just has not worked out. And changed coaches. They're paying three coaches, head coaches, at the same time.
Yeah.
And it just has not worked out for the Bucks. And so you and I have been talking about this, and there may be a lot of people who, probably more people who disagree with you and I on this than agree, but it's time to trade Giannis.
Well, you know, they've got a problem.
Calvin put his head in his hands.
Well, you know, they've they've gone from a very young team when Giannis was young to I think they're either the oldest team in the NBA, which means that they're only for the present. And if the present isn't working, then they've got to start thinking about the future. And you know, what do they have? They've given up all their draft choices, right. So they're going to have to do something to regain draft choices to go towards the future. Giannis is 29. They can't continue to build a team around him, and they've done everything they can to build a team around him. But I think his style of play, in the absence of outside shooting capability, makes him defensible, particularly in the playoffs. And we found that out. You know, look, we won a championship with him, and it worked out well that year. I'm thinking that Horst has a lot of difficult decisions to make.
He'll make them. Hey Calvin, your heart skipped a beat when you heard Sandy and I say it's time to get rid of Giannis. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I disagree with that. But besides that, I'm not going to lie and say I'm confident we're going to surpass your guys' expectations. But I think we should. The playoffs in the NBA is a completely different game than the regular season. We haven't been the healthiest team. I think let's see how if they survive the Pacers, I think we have as good a shot as any other team.
I would agree with you there. At least to get to the finals, I think the West Conference is pretty dominant.
Sandy.
Yeah.
If they beat the Pacers, then they could possibly have to go through the murderer's row. Philadelphia is back because Embiid is back, and they're playing really well.
Well, the New York Knicks. I'm not ready to write them off.
I know.
I'm just looking down the road. It could be we'd win this year. And if we win this year, I still think we need to make the same set of decisions because the table. And in fact, maybe if we win this year, Giannis will make the decision for us. He periodically talks about going elsewhere. I think the sorry thing, I think Giannis has great character. I think Horst has built a team, all of whom have great personal character. I think it was a tragedy to lose Dre Holiday because I think he was really committed to Milwaukee and had great character. But at some point, you've got to figure out how to get to the future from the present.
Well, you know, Sandy, I've never known you to be an if guy. But you are an if guy. If we beat Indiana, we just don't have what it takes to go through the murderer's row.
Well, you said the Packers weren't going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I'm just reminding you that you might not always be right about these things.
Hey Sandy.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm not wrong about the fact that the Bucks are the only way you can change in the NBA is through draft choices. They have none. And so you can hold on to Giannis another year or two. He gets another year or two older.
Well, but the problem is his contract. But you have less to trade if you don't have a future in a contract. And at some point, if we keep him a couple of years, we don't renew his contract. Then we've got nothing to trade.
Well, he's
just
starting
some compensatory picks.
Well, what I think Giannis is, you know, a phenomenal athlete, no question. He's a top of the line athlete. But Sandy, even they're human, and so now he's starting to have injuries. You know, he plays so hard.
Yeah.
And we talked about this. You and I talk about this all the time. Every play. He's going 100%. He doesn't know how to slow down, right? And his body is starting the wear and tear of moving up and down the court constantly and jumping up and down. Basketball is a rigorous game, especially on the pro level.
Yeah.
So well, I don't know how much longer they can stick with him.
Well, I know that, you know, Milwaukee loves him. He's been great for Milwaukee. The team has been great. It is great. It's fun to watch. But, you know, and I was thinking about this. The Packers have been very smart about how they've handled their drafts because if you want to have a franchise quarterback, you have to have a top draft choice. To get a top draft choice, you have to suffer a bad season. Packers have been smart twice in terms of drafting or trading for people without having had bad seasons. So they get Brett Favre. Now, they weren't very good when they got Brett Favre, but they didn't get him through drafting. They traded and got him from Atlanta
right.
They got Aaron Rodgers because he was available at 24, right? After they'd had a great season, they still drafted him, and so that was their future. They never have had to suffer bad seasons to build their draft capital so they can get a franchise quarterback. And you know, you can listen to anybody in the NFL. They'll tell you, you can't win the championship without a top quarterback. And the Packers have figured out how to do it without losing. And maybe the Bucs have to do the same thing. They have to figure out a way to get from here to there. And I think Horst is a pretty very capable general manager.
There is a way to do it. The same way the Packers did it. The Packers traded Brett Favre and got a couple high first-round draft choices. The Packers traded Devontae Adams and got a couple first-round draft choices. They traded Aaron Rodgers, and they got three top first-round and second-round draft choices. And last year, they did a great job. The last 2 years, they did a great job drafting with those high draft choices.
Right.
The way to do it is, again, trade your best player and get high draft choices. That's the way most of the teams, whether it's football or basketball, Sandy, can rebuild. And there is no other way around that. And the Bucks have to look in the mirror, and they're going to have to make that call and make that decision at some point in time.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, and I know, you know, I love the Bucks. They've been competitive under what was the coach's name? Budenholzer. They've been competitive for what, 8 years, 10 years in a row?
Yeah.
They've been a dominant team. They just have fallen short, but they've been on a high level of things. You can't stay there forever.
Well, I think that, like I said, there clearly are decisions to be made. When you have the oldest team in the NBA, everyone understands there are decisions that need to be made about the future. And that's why I think they did the Lillard thing, because this was the year, right?
Yeah.
So if this isn't the year, then maybe this is a watershed year and a time for reevaluation.
Well, you know, we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to have a guest on at 8:30, a young lady from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, who, you know, there is no abortions, or there are no abortions in Louisiana. And this is a young woman who had a miscarriage and required an abortion. And she was not able to get the abortion in Louisiana. She had to travel to a different state. She's going to be joining us at 8:30 to talk about just what a hardship it is when states determine and decide that there aren't going to be any abortions under any circumstances. So we're going to be joined by her at 8:30. Until then, it's Tuesday. It's Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. We're going to talk a little bit about on the other side. Did you know that there are schools, public schools, that are allowing their students to go to churches during school time and be taught Christianity? 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
Back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is in the studio. Sandy, I'm looking for the article. I just had it.
Well, you know, we talked about it before we went on the air, and you described how it was that there are apparently 300 school districts in the country which have set up processes to, and the one you described was a particular school district in Ohio, where a school, where a bus shows up every hour and takes 15 students or so off for an hour or 45 minutes to a local church where they learn both Christianity and as well other values that are related. And you know, I guess to me, the concerning thing is, number one, do they have buses for all the Jewish children? Do they have buses for the Muslim children that might be in the school district or others? And are the buses paid for by the public school process, or are they private? I mean, I'm all for the notion that if there's a free period that's provided for students to do anything they want, that they could go and they can go off campus to do whatever they want, that one of the things they might be able to do is go off to church. Or any sort of worship process that they want, they're interested in being involved with. But the difference is whether the school district itself is organizing it, paying for it, and if it's only unilaterally associated with one religion. I mean, that's our Constitution was all about being worried about that, okay? Not worried about whether people were religious or not. It isn't anti-religious to be worried about whether a public school is financing and facilitating only the Christian study, and because, you know, regardless of what people think about this notion of the United States being built on Christian values, which incidentally is belied by the actuality of the religiosity of the founding fathers, but it's really all about whether it's dictating one religion or a religion to people in some fashion by facilitating it. That's the problem. It's not that people are anti-religion who are worried about that. I can assure you that many people who are actively involved in the ACLU are very religious people.
So here it is, USA Today, the article, and the article states, "We teach the Bible to public school students. Liberals should stop freaking out about it." The red bus arrives at Beechwood Elementary School in Whitno, Ohio. Throughout the day, about 15 students pile on each time. Then it drives a few blocks to a church down the street. For the next 40 minutes, the students learn basic Bible teaching alongside virtues such as honesty, integrity, and kindness. When the lessons are over, they get on the bus and head back to school to finish the day. All told, about 500 kids in the school district participate each week. They're engaged and their parents are thrilled, which is why they keep coming back and even bring friends. This scene plays out weekly at more than 300 public schools in 12 states, reaching more than 30,000 kids. That's a huge increase. The question, as you stated, Sandy, is not that somebody's opposed to that teaching. If you want your child to be taught Christian values, send your child to a Christian school.
Well, or facilitate them going after school or whatever. I mean, the problem is.
I guess that what I'm saying is, you because if you're not offering that same thing to all the other religions, then you're not adhering to what America is and what America stands for, right? Or was founded under.
Yeah, and what surprises me is that it's become a liberal conservative issue because it would have. There was a day when conservatives would have been very upset about the notion of church being instilled through school, a particular religion being instilled through school on students. You know, that would have been a problem. So, I think this shouldn't be political. This is all about looking at the Constitution and figuring out what is appropriate, and what is the intent of the founding fathers. And you know, they should understand that the earliest people who came to this country, the Pilgrims, were leaving a place where they were required to study church in school. They were required to be a particular religion.
844-967-2789. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this because, you know, Sandy, there was a time not so long ago that this wouldn't have been tolerated. And there would have been a major pushback. And now, all of a sudden, Sandy, there are no pushbacks. There are no guardrails anymore.
Well, I suspect, quite frankly, that if someone withstanding in one of these school districts decided to litigate this issue, and it would go all the way up to the Supreme Court, that the Supreme Court would have concerns about a process that is organized in the fashion that the article just described, a school bus supported by the school district coming up and taking students off to church in an organized fashion like that and only facilitating a particular Christian church.
Yeah, during the time that they're in school, Sandy.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you want to do that after school or whatever? That's a different story.
Well, or if the school district decided they would have an open hour for students to do any religion, no religion, whatever is their predilection during that hour, fine. But they wouldn't do it. The school wouldn't be teaching it. The school wouldn't be doing it. They would simply be offering an open hour for them to do as they choose. That's different than what was described.
So what gets me, Sandy, is constantly people talk about the founding fathers and what the founding fathers meant. Constantly you'll hear that. The founding fathers clearly knew what they were talking about when they said separation of church and state.
Absolutely. And in fact, in terms of their religiosity, maybe they spoke in manners that seemed to be referring to the Old Testament and therefore being premised on religion. But for instance, Thomas Jefferson rewrote the Bible himself to take out of it all of the supernatural qualities associated with it. And, you know, the people then weren't, as is ascribed to them now, wound up all about imbuing the United States with Christian values.
Yeah, it is a subject that is not going away. I just don't understand why there's not more of a conversation about it, Sandy. You know, if this would have happened in the 60s or the 70s, there would have been a major pushback. No question whatsoever. But for whatever reason today, Sandy, these kind of things get a pass. And I think it's because people are saying, we're a Christian nation. We should make sure we teach Christianity.
Well, I think you're right. I think lots of people make that leap. And, you know, we were a Christian nation primarily because the people who resided here were primarily Christian to begin with, because that was the nature of the European population that migrated here in the beginning, okay?
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Next up, Caitlin Joshua of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yeah.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. If you're living with diabetes and on Medicare, the Inflation Reduction Act caps your out-of-pocket insulin costs at $35 a month. But for many other Americans, the cost of insulin is still expensive.
Only three companies are able to control basically the global supply of insulin. And in the United States, that means that there are unaffordable costs.
Catherine Poe is a policy researcher. Wisconsin is not one of the 25 states that cap insulin copays. Two scenic highways in Wisconsin are now part of the state's Rustic Roads program. The first stretch covers almost 10 miles near the American Birkebeiner Trail in northwest Wisconsin. The other new route crosses Honey Creek near East Troy and passes what was once a one-room schoolhouse. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. With no school in session, Eau Claire law enforcement officers took to the schools to train for emergency scenarios, including active shooter threats. The purpose of the training is to help law enforcement officers respond quickly and effectively to emergencies that involve the schools and identify areas where law enforcement departments could improve their response. Officials hope that by practicing simulated situations, officers will be better prepared for the realities of a worst-case scenario situation. Now that the warmer weather is starting to creep back into the area, there's a new way for residents to get out on the water. The City of Menominee and Explore Menominee are now offering kayak rentals on Lake Menominee through the Rent Fun app. If residents are interested in taking advantage of the kayak rentals, they can head out to the boat landing in Lakeside Park with the Rent Fun app and check out a kayak by scanning a QR code. The kayak rentals cost $25 for a two-hour rental, and they are already available. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
With the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Actress Jessica Chastain says a lot of couples have named their daughters after her character in the Christopher Nolan film Interstellar. Chastain's character was named Murphy Murph Cooper. She played a NASA scientist who traveled through a wormhole with her father, Joseph Cooper, played by Matthew McConaughey, as they tried to save the Earth. Chastain says people come up to her all the time and say they named their daughter Murph. Cute name and much more desirable than all the couples that named their daughters Nurse Ratched 40 years ago. The Bachelors are turning on each other. Former Bachelor contestant Nick Viles says there might be more to the story regarding the quick divorce between Golden Bachelor couple Jerry Turner and Teresa Nist. Viles hinted that Jerry Turner might not be as golden as we think. Interesting. Especially coming from a guy who tried to find TV love three times on various Bachelor and Bachelor spinoffs before finally marrying someone he met off-air who was almost 20 years younger. Judge much, Nick? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Thunderstorms with heavy rain likely this afternoon, tonight into tomorrow. We could get an inch to an inch and a half or more of rain by the time everything winds down on Wednesday. It's also going to be colder and very windy today. Our high 56, wind out of the east, gusting to between 40 and 50 here through today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm really excited right now because I've wanted to have this guy on for a while. He is a legendary stand-up comedian. You know him as Tom Dreesen. Tom, welcome to Nightlight.
Pete, it's nice to talk to you. Let me tell you how I became a legend. All my critics are dead.
Did you have anything to do with that? Don't say anything, Tom.
No, I refuse to answer on the grounds it might incriminate me. I'll plead the fifth on it.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Love is only true in fairy tales.
hard to get me. That's the way it seems. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And as promised, on the line, Miss Caitlin Joshua. She is from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And good morning to you, young lady. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. Let's talk about your story.
Okay. So my story starts in the summer of 2022. My husband and I had just found out that we were expecting. We're super excited. And I jumped right into trying to schedule a prenatal appointment. That first prenatal appointment around 4 weeks. Was told by several medical providers and facilities within the Baton Rouge region that I would not be able to get my appointment scheduled until the 12-week mark. And that was solely because the recent Supreme Court decision, the Dobbs decision, had come down a few weeks earlier that basically put medical providers in a position in my state of Louisiana and many states that have a total abortion ban to say, you know, within that 0 to 12-week period, there's a lot of medical liability physicians would take on should they have someone in their possession or under their care that is experiencing a miscarriage. And for those reasons, we would not try to mitigate some of that potential risk and not see patients until their 12-week gestation period.
So let me just ask you to clarify there. So doctors in Louisiana were so worried about being subject to the ban on abortion and the liabilities associated with it that they just wanted to bury their head in the sand for the first 12 weeks and not see women and not do ultrasound or other kinds of things during the first 12-week period, because then they could be held responsible for the problems that might arise?
That is correct.
Wow.
That's exactly what was happening.
Huh. That's amazing. So actually, if you know, there's some risks associated with not being seen within those first 12 weeks, I think.
Of course, absolutely. There's plenty of risks associated with not being seen in those very pivotal moment in the first 12 weeks. And so we're seeing at alarming rates, women who are experiencing certain, you know, medical diagnoses that kind of gone under the radar as a result of not being seen in those first 12 weeks, which, again, to your point, is a major risk.
So after this, what happened?
So after this, I, you know, kind of chalked it up, and my husband said, you know, if we're going to have to wait to that 12-week mark, might as well go with a provider that we are comfortable with and we're used to. And so we went ahead and scheduled that 12-week appointment, but unfortunately, we never made it to the appointment. I miscarried at 11 weeks. And when I reached out to different medical providers in my city to be able to get some help, and particularly was seeking a DNC, which is a procedure that typically is associated with having an abortion. It helps you pass any contents that you may not be able to naturally pass for several weeks, but was unable to not only get a medical diagnosis as having a miscarriage on paper or just getting some type of conversation with a physician around what was happening with my body, but instead was left to pass my pregnancy at home alone several weeks prior to miscarrying.
Hmm. Wow. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's risks associated with just the process of miscarrying as well. I'm just amazed. So this was,
absolutely.
So in Louisiana, yeah. these doctors, I guess, face felony type charges if they're associated with the what would be deemed
they
to be
do.
An abortion. Yeah,
that's correct. They face jail time. They face obviously fines and fees. And then, of course, the potential of revoking their license completely and not being able to practice. And so it's a very egregious law, yes.
So let me ask you, what were your thoughts prior to the Dobbs decision, and prior to you being pregnant and then having the miscarriage? Did you have any different thoughts prior to this, or has what you went through changed your thoughts on all of this?
Yeah, what I went through definitely changed my perspective and the lens in which I come from around maternal health in general, and helped me understand like just how important it is for physicians to be able to have the full, you know, the full disclosure and ability to be able to make decisions between their patients, themselves, the providers and the patients, of course. And so it's definitely given me a whole new perspective on abortion care, on reproductive rights and what that looks like in this country and how it's definitely under attack. The overturn of Roe versus Wade, no doubt, has had an impact in all 50 states. And we know if Trump is reelected to that White House, he will enact a total abortion ban in all 50 states. And so I am determined in making it my mission and goal to spread awareness around abortion care, around reproductive rights in this moment, so that women that I know are potentially going to come up against some of these bans in these states are not faced with this long term. And so has certainly changed my outlook. And I will say, if you don't mind, media, to continue, I've always heard there were a great deal of kind of overburdened systems or systems that operated implicit bias or racist bias as it relates to Black maternal health care, whether in the Deep South or in the country. Like, it's been an issue for decades, and we know that the rates in which Black women are dying are alarmingly high compared to the 60s, which is wild to say out loud. And so I've certainly, you know, also been making sure that I center those voices and center those conversations whenever I'm out, whether on campaign trail or back home in Louisiana, because those are the most important stories coming out of this.
Well, you know, Louisiana reverted to its own law after the Dodd case, mm-hmm. so that it is reflective of what would happen in the country with the patchwork of state decisions. I think Donald Trump sort of tried to back off from a national ban by saying, well, we'll leave it up to each state, but obviously, leaving it up to each state leaves people with the possibility of living in a state like Louisiana.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And folks don't necessarily have the finances or the transportation to be able to get to a state as far, you know, east as North Carolina or, you know, in Wisconsin, so on and so forth. And so why create this patchwork of laws? Instead, why can't we just have a reproductive healthcare system that works for everyone in all 50 states? And so I do agree with you. Patchwork is no better. And leaving it up to the states is just as dangerous as having a total abortion ban.
Let me ask you, because I am ignorant. I don't know. But what happens? You said 12. How long were you into your pregnancy when you had the miscarriage?
11 weeks.
11 weeks. So does your body, you know, reject it and remove? Is it removed from your body naturally, or does a doctor have to remove it in that 12-week period?
That's a really good question. It just depends. For the most part, and I won't even say for the most part. I will say for the most part, it is up to the physician to decide and make the discrepancy whether or not you need the procedure in order to pass the content in an effective way and, like, actually, you know, not have scar tissue and not, you know, be left right. with some long-term damage there. And so that is why it's so extremely important that you do see a physician and get clarity as to whether or not you do need a DNC. But at 11 weeks, almost 12 weeks, which is very close to that second trimester, it is standard protocol that anyone receives a DNC in order to pass any contents related to miscarriage.
Well, so and that has to do with both safety for the mother as well as future reproductive capabilities. So, I mean,
you got it.
I mean, that the thing of it is that I think what's misunderstood is that some people who undergo these things are people who fervently want children. It's just some people have more frequent miscarriages and failures to get all the way through gestation. But mm-hmm. it's a tragedy. It's wonderful that you're out working to try and make sure other people don't experience what you experienced.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So let me ask you, when you hear, because it, you know, the push from all of this is coming from men, you know, who, mm-hmm. who are making these decisions. Do you think that men really understand, or if men really should be the ones making the decisions in this whole moral perspective on this, which is what's at the root of it, that what is happening whenever there's an abortion is totally immoral, and that women should not use. I've heard people say this. Women should not use abortion as contraceptive.
I've heard it too.
So what are your thoughts on that type of, thinking?
On that type of thinking, I think it's dangerous, right? At the end of the day, patients and doctors have to make those decisions with each other, not with government. And to your point around men making these decisions, men, women, because, obviously there's women politicians that are also on the wrong side of this issue sometimes. And so politicians should just get out of the exam room and stop interfering with the delivery of healthcare in general. And I don't think it's up to us to decide what that looks like for each individual. And while I do hear you, I've heard tons of men and male politicians state, abortion care is dangerous or abortion care is not needed. And I think it's all about education, right? Like helping them understand how having an abortion at the disposal of any provider is essential to making sure that we are saving lives. Abortion bans do not save women. They do not save babies. In fact, we lose at alarming rates. We increasingly lose more women and babies as a result of abortion bans. And so I think it's all about teaching folks and helping them understand that this notion that they're operating out of, that abortion bans are saving women or saving lives, is in fact more harmful than good. And let's look at addressing some of the, like I said, implicit biases and racial biases within the healthcare system that already exists, instead of putting a further burden on it by adding a ban to it.
So I only got a couple more minutes. You're in Milwaukee and you're traveling and you're telling your story with other women. What are you trying to get across? What's the message?
Absolutely. We're trying to get across that abortion is on the ballot. Abortion is under attack. And this fall, it is up to us as women, as men that support women, as men that center women in these conversations, to put the right person in office and reelect President Biden and Vice President Harris. That is the only way to make sure that we are not potentially dealing with a total abortion ban in all 50 states. We've seen the work that they've done just last month, investing millions of dollars in an executive order that looks to address women's health care and do more research on these issues that we talk about, everything, not just from abortion care, but to cardiovascular, to mental health, to postpartum health, and so on and so forth. And so we do know that a Biden-Harris ticket means that we are, in fact, signing on to and voting for an administration that will do whatever they can to protect restoring Roe versus Wade, and also making sure that other parts of maternal health care are restored as a result of being back in the White House. And so all that to say, we are trying to make sure we do not reelect Donald Trump, which would potentially not just harm other areas and issues that we care about, but also, most importantly, abortion is on the ballot and we've got to do something about it.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Caitlin Joshua. Really appreciate you taking the time out of what is a busy schedule, I guess, today in Milwaukee and in the coming months.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Ms. Caitlin Joshua. Sandy, our phone line's open as always at 844-967-2789. Some of these things, it's kind of ridiculous when a person has a miscarriage to say that they can't see a doctor.
Well, I think
it's pretty barbaric, right?
To have a regulatory process that frightens doctors to the point where they won't see pregnant women for the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. I mean, my understanding was that early care by an OBGYN for a woman pregnant was very important to her health and the health of the children.
It's always been that, Sandy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that what it shows is the specter that would be created by the passage of some of these laws.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Up next, the trial.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show. grocery prices.
Well, now to more sticker shock at the grocery store.
Chaos at the southern border.
Thousands of migrants have joined a caravan in Central America that's making its way to the U.S.
Cutting the wages of working Americans.
And now they can employ cheap immigrants instead of having to pay working class Americans a living wage.
But Biden and Tammy Baldwin don't care. They're millionaires. Tammy Baldwin lives in a million-dollar luxury penthouse in Washington, D.C. Oh, come on. How do you think career politicians like Biden and Tammy Baldwin and their families become millionaires?
The records show Hunter Biden's company received nearly $5 million in consulting contracts from that joint venture funded by a Chinese energy company.
Inflation, out-of-control immigration, insider deals. That's the Biden and Baldwin way. America's PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by America's PAC and not authorized by any other candidate or committee. America's PAC 527.com.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And yes, jury selection has begun in Trump's New York City hush money trial. And I read something the other day. I forgot what it was in. But it said that two out of three Americans don't agree with this trial. Two out of three Americans somehow believe that Donald Trump is being railroaded. And so, you know, it's great to have Sandy here because he can really explain what this is really about. We hear about a trial, Sandy, but do we really understand the magnitude of what this really is about?
Well, I think what's happening is that people get mistaken about what it is he's charged with. So there's a lot of talk about hush money payments, and people think that he's being charged with a crime of making a hush money payment to this porn star to keep her from talking, okay? That isn't what he's charged with. And what he's charged with is making the hush money payment. Now, yes, that's what he did, but the crime was that he falsified his the documents associated with his New York in corporations, and it's a crime in New York to falsify corporate documents. And you know, there's also talk about the fact that he's being charged with deceiving the voters. Well, that was his motive. Okay, his motive undoubtedly here was to cover up the fact of this illicit affair. Pay the woman to be quiet, because he didn't want it to come out in 2016 at the time of his attempt to get elected president, and so he then falsified his documents, his corporate documents, for the further purpose of covering it up. Now I'm surprised that there isn't a tax violation here as well, because my understanding from the charges is that he attempted to make this payment seem to be the payment to Michael Cohen of legal fees rather than the payment of a hush money payment to this woman. The hush money payment wouldn't be tax deductible. The legal fees could be tax deductible. So I'm surprised there isn't a tax charge associated with this as well. But my understanding of the crimes that he's charged with, it has to do with the falsification of documents.
So if any ordinary citizen, well, he was an ordinary citizen when he did this, would an ordinary citizen be?
Well, it's a crime to do it. So any citizen could be charged with it. I'm not knowledgeable about the frequency with which New York has pursued this crime in New York for the falsification of corporate documents. I'm confident they have pursued it against people in other circumstances. So, you know, the only argument that someone could have is that they're choosing to prosecute this crime, which is a crime, in circumstances when otherwise they might not choose to prosecute the crime. It isn't that the crime wasn't committed. The question is whether the prosecutor would choose to pursue the prosecution of the crime. That's as far as I could see an argument could be made here, because I don't think anyone can assert, and I think after the evidence is all in, it will be clear that he committed the crime of falsifying the documents.
So, Sandy, the way the system is set up, it takes a jury, and only one person could basically hang all this up, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the fact is this went through a grand jury, I believe. So, first of all, a jury of peers in a grand jury decided that and were persuaded by the prosecutor that, yes, charges should be brought. So it's already been through one filter of general peer review, meaning general citizen review, the grand jury. The grand jury recommended prosecution. Prosecution is now commenced. It will take a jury to convict him. And so, you know, the notion that this is some grand conspiracy, the conspiracy will ultimately have to include the jury.
Let's go to the phone lines. Calvin, who do we have on the line?
We have David from Mequon.
Hey, good morning, David. You say what?
Good morning. So in regards with this hush money situation in New York, so from my understanding was originally the Federal Department of Justice, along with the Federal Election Commission, not only didn't find a crime, they didn't bring anything. They didn't see anything. And the statute of limitations ran out like 8 years prior, which was a misdemeanor. Now, Alvin Bragg has taken a state issue and has made it into a, he's taking a federal issue and he's making it into a state issue as a felony. So he took the one misdemeanor, supposedly, and now he's, made it into what, 33, whatever felony, end of things. And like I said, this has already been analyzed by the Federal Department of Justice and the Federal Election
Commission. Well, no, now wait. Here's the problem with what you're saying, Dave. Number one, which law school did you go to? Number two, the fact is that, all we can really talk about is whether the prosecutor in New York should choose to prosecute the case, because the Federal Election Commission looked at this from the question of whether there was a violation of federal election law. Okay, that's a whole different set of laws than the New York corporate laws associated with the sanctity of the record keeping of corporations. So the Federal Election Commission would have looked at this and decided that, well, this payment wasn't necessarily made as a part of an election process, and so therefore we're not going to handle it. Okay, that has to do with election law and what's associated with election law. The prosecution by the state now has to do with whether the falsification of corporate documents occurred, okay, and whether that's a violation of the law. They're two different, totally different sets of laws.
So I guess at the end of the day, you're still okay with the fact that the statute of limitations ran out 8 years.
Well, if the statute of limitations ran out on this corporate record-keeping law, he wouldn't be in court, all right? So, you know, I don't think that you're just off base, Dave. You know, it has to do with two different subjects.
All right, 844-967-2789. It's Tuesdays with my co-host, the barrister himself, Sandy Williams.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
Tune in Tuesday for the Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll see if they picked any jurors in New York in the Trump trials. You got to tune in. Devil's Advocates 4 to 6.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Former President Trump has arrived at court in Manhattan for day two of jury selection in his criminal hush money trial.